chapter 5. Tonight I'd like to bring the concluding message on the series on the fruit of the Spirit. And again, as I read through this passage, we have a very stark contrast set before us. The life that is lived according to the deeds of the flesh, and the life that is lived according to the fruit of the Spirit. And as we read through this passage tonight, since I will be dealing about developing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, these different fruits that we have studied, I want you very plainly to ask yourself, which life do I desire to lead? And how far am I willing to go to lead it? For that is what Paul is setting before us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come into this place where we gather to worship. It is just a building. And we are just people. But to the degree that we bring faith and trust in you into this place, it becomes a place where God and man meet. And we ask that you would cause each of us to come in faith, where we believe that Jesus Christ is present among his people, as he promised. Where we believe that God receives sinners through Jesus Christ our Lord, as he promised, where he hears the prayers that are offered in the name of the Son of God, where he causes his word, his truth from the Scriptures to go forth into our hearts. And we ask that you would help us to come into this place of worship with faith already in our hearts, that it may be done to us according to our faith. We thank you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, entered into this dark world by a miracle, and that he lived a life of humility and humiliation when God became man, that he suffered in life and in death for his people, and upon the cross paid forevermore their debt of sin before God's judgment throne, that we might go free free from sin and death and condemnation, and enter into the eternal kingdom where Christ is. And we thank you that Christ is risen from the dead as he promised, and meets even with us here now, tonight, as he promised. Help us to believe in Jesus Christ, and that faith and trust in him and belief in him would transform our lives from the deeds of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, in verse 19 and 20 and 21, Paul describes the deeds of the flesh. That is, those acts of sin that are produced by the sinful nature of man. They are the deeds of the flesh. Their source is the flesh. They are produced by the flesh. Our sinful nature produces sinful acts. But then he describes the fruit of the Spirit. That is, the fruit that the Spirit of God produces in the life of believers. Not things like immorality and impurity, dissensions and factions, outbursts of anger, carousings, drunkenness, things like this, but that the Spirit produces things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If these things, he says in the book of Galatians, are in our lives, then the law of God will not condemn us. And the reason he made that statement was because the Judaizers had come to Galatia, to the Galatian church, and told them that they must be circumcised according to the law of Moses so that they could enter heaven. But Paul's whole book of Galatians is dedicated to this principle that if they circumcise themselves according to the law of God, they must live by the law and die by the law. That we are people of faith. People who have admitted they can do nothing by the law to earn God's favor, but have trusted in a Savior. Who have begun to walk a new life in the Spirit of God, trusting in Jesus Christ to save us. And if those fruits, or that fruit of the Holy Spirit that comes from knowing Christ, is in our life, we don't need to be circumcised. Against such things there is no law. But a problem arises as we look at this text. On the one hand, it's very clear that the deeds of the flesh are sins which we commit from our sinful nature. They are produced by the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit can only be produced by the Spirit. We are called to be loving, to be joyful, to be patient, kind, gentle, good, faithful, to have self-control. But if those things are produced only by the Holy Spirit, then how can we produce those things? Two errors have been committed when the fruit of the Spirit has been studied. Some teach that the fruit of the Spirit are simply commands that you are called to obey, where basically God says, be loving, be kind, be good, have peace, be joyful, be patient, and a new law is put upon us. That it is all up to us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. On the other hand, some teach that it is the fruit of the Spirit, and only He can produce such fruit in your life. So you are simply to be passive, waiting for the Spirit to produce love in your life. Joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And there's nothing you can do about it to produce such fruit because it is of the Spirit. If God wants you to be loving, then you'll end up loving somehow. If He wants you to have joy, you'll have joy somehow. And there's nothing you can do. Having studied the fruit of the Spirit, the question is, how can the fruit of the Spirit be produced in our lives? What does God do? And what do we do to produce love? If you want to be a loving person, actually more concerned for others' needs than your own, how do you do that? Do you wait for the Spirit to zap you? Do you forget about the Spirit and just obey commandments? What do you do? Well, there are two things tonight that I want to try, two questions or points I want to try to make tonight. And the first one is this. Only the Holy Spirit can bring change in your heart and mine and anyone else's and produce the fruit of the Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. There's some people that read passages like this and yell out to the people of God, produce the fruit of the Spirit. As if we can control the Spirit of God at our will and at our whim. But the Bible teaches that only the Spirit of God can give spiritual life to the heart of man. And we don't control Him. Turn with me to John chapter 3. And I want us to look up several scriptures tonight to try to solve this riddle. How do we produce the fruit that only the Spirit of God can produce? The first thing we need to realize is that spiritual life in the heart of man can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above or born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's all flesh has when it's born, just flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You and I cannot control the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God can cause our hearts to be born again. Born from above, where God's Spirit invades our soul and brings new life. And we can't control that Spirit. And yet, at the same time, Jesus said to this man, you must be born again. You have to be born again, and yet you cannot cause your new birth. Only the Spirit of God produces spiritual life in the heart of man. And after that spiritual life has come, where one is born again, the Spirit of God has changed us and given us a new heart and a new spirit. Even then, spiritual life continues and grows in the Christian heart only by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, which we cannot control. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and see what Paul says about the work of the Spirit. He says in verse 12, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh," speaking to Christians. "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Flesh can only produce flesh. And only the Holy Spirit can produce in the Christian heart a spiritual growth that puts sin aside and puts on righteous, godly behavior. Only the Spirit of God can produce this spiritual life and what we call the fruit of the Spirit in our life." In Ephesians chapter 5, we have another one of those confusing statements, where Paul in chapter 5 is exhorting Christians to not be like the world, to not be like those who live their lives for immorality and only for pleasure, doing whatever feels good, no matter whether it's right or wrong, according to God's word. And so he says in verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. This is a command that we're to fulfill, which only the Spirit can fulfill. And so only the Spirit of God can produce spiritual growth in the Christian heart, and yet we are commanded to be filled with that Spirit of God as if we can do something about it. And yet, the Spirit is sovereign in His work. The wind blows where it will. And we don't control the wind. We only know that it comes from over here and it blows from over there. But we can't control it. And so the first point I want to make tonight is simply this. Only the Spirit of God working in the heart of man, in our minds, in our emotions, and in our will, can produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And the second point I'd like to make is this. There is only one way and only one thing we can do to find the help of the Spirit to do those very things. There is only one thing we can do to find the help of the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and to find strength as a Christian to grow spiritually, so that what is called the fruit of the Spirit grows in our life. Love increases. True Christian joy, not the manufactured joy that so many try to put on like a face. Love, joy, peace. A peace that is real and lasts, especially in the most difficult moments of our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. Really being patient, waiting upon the Lord, being patient with other people instead of angry and bitter and controlling of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There's only one thing that you and I can do to see the Spirit of God sovereignly work these things in our life. Turn back with me to John chapter 3 just a moment. And let's look at what Jesus told this man after he commanded him, or at least told him, you must be born again, but you can't do it. Do you wish to be born again? Do you need a new heart? A heart that really wants to do God's will, that knows that heaven is your future and Christ is your Savior, and that God will never forsake you on earth, that knows that God has made a change in the way you think and feel and the goals of your life that is going to last. Do you wish to be born again? Well, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus asked a question in verse 9. How can these things be? See, he was confused too. And here's what Jesus said to him in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus, you must be born again, but you can't do it. But here is what you must do. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and when the people gazed upon that bronze serpent that he lifted up on a staff, they were healed immediately from the bites of the serpent. So you must look upon the Son of God lifted up and believe in him. It is not up to you and me to control the new birth. But here's what you must do. You must look to Jesus Christ and believe in him. And God gives the new birth as he will. Where else do you have to go to meet God? You cannot meet God on common ground. He is holy, and you are sinful by nature. He is perfect and you're imperfect. He is righteous and you are unrighteous. How can you meet God and know that he will receive you? The only place, the only ground that you have on earth to meet God is at the foot of the cross of Christ, where he was lifted up to die. And that is where you are called to meet God. God gives the new birth and draws his people to the cross. And if you are drawn to the feet of Christ, God will give the new birth as he will. The same thing is true concerning our spiritual growth as believers. On the one hand, we are called to bear fruit to God. And the fruit that we're to bear is the fruit of the Spirit, which only he can produce. He is the only one that can give you the strength to love when your heart wants to hate. He is the only one who can give you joy and hope in Christ when you're in despair and bitterness. He's the only one that can give patience when you're angry, goodness when you're evil, faithfulness when you're lazy, gentleness when you're coarse and rough and harsh. self-control when you don't want to control yourself. He alone can do it. And this is how He does it. It's the only thing that you can do to produce the fruit that comes of the Spirit of God. John chapter 15. You must be born again. But the only thing you can do is come to Christ. You must have the fruit of the Spirit. But the only thing you can do is abide in Christ. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Live in me. Dwell in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. We live in a day where the renewal of interest in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is talked about on every hand. And I'm afraid that as I've observed so many of these emphases on the Holy Spirit, that more emphasis has come upon the Holy Spirit and having some experience with the Spirit than centering upon Jesus Christ. In John 16, Jesus told His disciples the purpose of the Spirit's work in the heart of man, and He said this, "He shall glorify me, not himself." If you wish to be born again, you must look to Jesus Christ and believe in Him. If you wish to bear spiritual fruit, you must live in Christ and live in His words. His words more precious than gold and silver pieces, more precious than career, more precious than family, more precious than anything to your soul. If you wish to bear much fruit, you must abide in Him and let His words abide in you. And then you will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We do not bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit by seeking the Holy Spirit. We bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit by seeking Christ. He's made it so simple for us, but we've made it so complicated. We want to change and be more loving, so we try to be more loving and try to obey every commandment of love, which we should. Or we try to pray and seek the Holy Spirit to make us feel a certain way so that we'll be more loving. And the Bible says, come to Christ. Live in Christ. Believe in Him. Believe in His words. Listen to His words. Read His words, memorize His words, come to Him, live in Him, and you will be more loving. You will keep His commandments, and the fruit of love will grow in your life. In Galatians chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, Paul made this very plain. They were to develop the fruit of the Spirit in their life. The evidence of the deeds of the flesh are fleshly deeds. The evidence of the work of the Spirit are the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. But when you ask Paul, how do you live every day? What does it mean to walk by the Spirit so that you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh? This is what he says. This is his answer of how he lived his life each day in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, that is his old deeds of the flesh self. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. If you will do that, the fruit of the Spirit will grow on your branch. If you live by faith in the Son of God, abiding in Him, remembering that He gave Himself up for you, that every sin took the shedding of His blood, that He had you upon His heart while He said those awful words, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That he went there to accomplish your salvation. And he rose to rule the universe for your good. And you believe this is true. And you live by faith in the Son of God. Love will grow on your vine. Joy will be there. Joy in Christ. Not in the world, but in him. Peace. Believing that he who is risen and ascended to heaven is ordering the events of your life this day, this miserable day, according to his wisdom and care for your soul. Peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These things will grow on your branch if you abide in the vine, if you live in Christ. And that's what Paul did. And that's what he meant when he said, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walk by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself up for us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 again, we have this command. Do not get drunk with wine. And you can do that. For that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, how do you do that? A command to obey that only the Spirit can do. How is it that the Spirit of God fills the heart of the believer so that he speaks to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and his worship in the singing in worship comes from the heart? Thinking of the words, thinking of Christ, singing with full voice to each other. Being subject to one another in the fear of the Lord, as he says here, wives to your husbands, husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church. How do these come about? How can we be filled when only the Spirit can sovereignly fill us. In Colossians chapter 3, we have the answer again. What you can do. Colossians chapter 3 is a parallel passage, in some places word for word, with Ephesians chapter 5. And as we look at this passage, I want you to notice that in verses 5 through 14 of Colossians 3, Paul contrasts the same kinds of things as the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit as he does in Galatians. Listen to this as I read verse 5 through 14. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, that was mentioned, impurity, that was mentioned, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you have laid aside the old man with its evil practices and have put on the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. And so, as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on, and notice the fruit of the Spirit mentioned, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Here Paul tells them to put off the deeds of the flesh and put on the fruit of the Spirit. But how can you do that? The answer of the question is in the rest of the chapter. Here's how you do it. In verse 1, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. First of all, he says, set your mind upon Jesus Christ and the things above, where he is preparing a place for you. Quit living and setting your mind on the things that are on earth, whether or not your pleasures are met, whether or not God is treating you right and others are treating you right, whether things are working out like they're supposed to. Set your mind on the things above. God is in heaven. His angels are with him. Millions and millions of eternal souls, once bound for hell, are gathered around his throne, thanking him for his mercy and forgiveness, for his grace and his kindness. And they never get tired of doing that, because heaven is their home, a place of joy forever, freedom from the bonds of this earth and sin and death, never to die again, never to mourn again, never to cry again or feel pain again, only to know the Son of God who loved them and gave himself up for them. Set your mind on the things above where Christ is. And then in verse 15 and 16, which is the exact parallel to Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Here's what you can do to be filled with the Spirit. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. How do you put aside the deeds of the flesh and put on the fruit of the Spirit? You set your mind on the things above where Christ is. You let the peace of Christ rule your heart, that now peace with God has been accomplished by his death, and God will never make war on you again. That no matter what happens to you, you can have the peace of heart of knowing that God has not forsaken you again. And let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Abide in him. Let his words abide in you. I know my own, and my own know me. I lay down my life for the sheep. The sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Live in Christ. Live by faith in the Son of God. Believe who he is. Believe what he did. Believe that he is risen from the dead. Live in Christ as you face your spouse, as you minister to your children, as you go to work, as you go to church, as you go to school, as you go shopping, when you're alone. Abide in Christ. Let his words abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. God has promised to those who abide in Christ that his Spirit will come to their hearts in secret ways they do not understand, and strengthen their hearts to love when they could not love before, to have a joy and hope that they did not have before, to find a peace that sort of amazes them that they had never experienced before, patience when they thought it would run out, goodness when they were always tempted to strike back with vengeance and anger, gentleness and meekness instead of bitterness, self-control instead of losing control. When our hearts are full of Christ and our minds are set on the things above, the fruit of the Spirit will grow in our hearts. Come to Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives the new birth. And if you're a believer, come to Jesus Christ, and he will cause you to grow the fruit of the Spirit that will be an adornment to his name and a blessing to those around you. Which life do you want to live? The life of the deeds of the flesh, the life of the fruit of the Spirit. There is no in between. You're living one or the other right now. And the Son of God is risen to say, the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let us pray.